The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
The amount of people looking for Andy Moore around Positano, it was all the rage. They're asking about what he's got to do next. When's the next episode out? The Football Pod's gone international.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
Now, you're very welcome back. So I think a lot of people interested in the habits of sports people and their habits when it comes to nutrition, for instance. So Paul O'Connell was on OTB AM a couple of weeks back and he was just detailing, well, certainly you would think by today's standards, the more simplistic approach he and his Munster teammates might have been taking in the early to middling part of his career. Have a little listen to Paul O'Connell talking here to Jer a couple of weeks ago.
What about your weight? Did that go up and down a lot over your career?
It is very important. I was always trying to put it on. I mean, I was 112 kilos. That was my fighting weight. I mean, from what I hear in England, you wouldn't get a contract now unless you're 120 as a second row.
Right.
So I was the kind of skinny second row that jumped in the line out, and, you know, probably then the scrum I had to work very, very hard on my technique because I knew I didn't have the bulk or the size. But it didn't fluctuate. But, I mean, I played against New Zealand at 105 kilos, which...
7 kilos less than...
Yeah, there wouldn't be a second row in any of the academies, I would imagine, playing at 105 kilos now.
And how did you get down to that? You just had stopped doing all the eating? Or
no, I was only 21. I just hadn't on the side. I remember that season I'd gotten to about 108, but then you get injured and you can't go to the gym and you're playing games all the time. So that's stripping weight off you, you know, so...
And are you eating like 2 chickens a day at this point? And has it got to that level?
Yeah, and you know, when you try and eat very clean, that's when it's hard to put on size, I think. You know, it's when you're not afraid of putting fat into your diet.
So if you'd been piling on the peanuts and the...
not eating low-fat milk and, you know, full-fat butter and full-fat milk and not cutting the fat off your steaks or your rashers, which we used to do, you know, because Jerry Flannery used to do it. Jerry Flannery and Dunnicky used to influence a lot of the guys in the diet side of things. So we'd all be copying them, whether it was right or wrong. And for Flannery, it was vanity as much as it was about performance. So, but I even remember reading about Michael Phelps. We were calorie counters one time in Spala, and it showed that me and Dunnicky were burning about 8,000 calories a day.
Right.
So no matter how clean you ate, you couldn't get that in. You needed to have fat in your diet.
Yeah.
And I remember reading a thing about Phelps' diet and the amount of, you know, he was having mayonnaise and he was having all these things because he was training so much, burning so much calories that he needed the fat in his diet. And I was a little bit similar.
That was a little insight from Paul O'Connell just the other week. The full interview, well worth catching, by the way. You can download the OTB Sports app. It's in your app store. You can get it there and watch it in full or listen to it. Very happy to bring in Sinead Bradbury, sports nutritionist, works with the Galway men's senior team, amongst other teams, I know, Sinead. So, I mean, that's an interesting place to start with Paul O'Connell there. He's one of these lucky types that can't keep the weight on.
Yeah, I suppose, Joe, sports nutrition now has evolved into more than weight gain and weight loss. There's so much more as well that an athlete has to take into consideration. They have to have energy, they have to look after their immune system, recovery is so important, hydration status, and making sure they're what's called periodized nutrition, matching their dietary and their energy intake to the intensity of training. So there's a lot to sports nutrition now.
Well, where do you want to start then? So you're working with GAA players, and if you're talking about different workloads on different days, so some days they mightn't have any training whatsoever, but they might be working in an office versus on a building site versus in a truck all day. So, I mean, right there, you've got different demands. So I presume you're not just handing out a laminated sheet to all 30 panel members and saying, stick to this pretty much. It's got to be pretty tailored at this stage.
Yes, exactly. And that's where the role of new sports nutrition has evolved, Joe, that we're like getting more specific into the needs of the individual players and athletes. And there are general guidelines, but they are going on the unique body compositions of different players. So with, say, for carbohydrate intake, for low-intensity training, you're looking at about 3 to 5 grams of carbohydrates per kilogram of body weight. Now, to the average person, what does that mean? You know, and then it increases from that to 5 to 7 grams of carbohydrate per kg of body weight for higher intensity training. And then it evolves into, for planning for a game, up to 7 grams. So, I mean, it takes a lot of time with players for them to understand that. But even in simple terms, what you're looking at for low intensity training, about a quarter of your plate is carbohydrate, about a third is for a higher intensity, and then about half your plate. So I suppose what you don't want exactly that is to be handing out just read this and do this. You have to kind of work with them, their challenges. Are they sleeping okay? What about protein intake? Are they getting enough of that? Do they understand that all fats are not bad? Are they getting a colorful an array of different types of foods, you know, like iron and calcium and vitamin D are all so important for athletes. So I suppose it's my, I get the kick from buy-in, you know, from trust with players, you know, shy, underage, young players coming to a senior squad, you know, slowly building trust to ask you things, if they have any gastrointestinal issues, if they have any migraines or skin concerns. A lot comes up when you're dealing with athletes. It's not, again, just about lean muscle mass and body fats anymore.
Okay, interesting. Because I would think, I mean, look, certainly in the general population, it's there. So I suspect it may well be there amongst athletes, even though we know carbohydrates give us lots of energy and are important. There's probably just a sense if we're trying to stay trim, well, listen, I'll leave the pasta and the bread at bay and let's go protein heavy. I mean, I presume even the elite athletes are prone to that kind of thinking.
Yeah, Joe, and it's like Sport Ireland are going out with like a lot of information sharing at the moment on what's known as REDS, relative energy deficiency in sport. And if you're underfueling as an athlete, whether you're a younger and experienced athlete, male or female, if you're underfueling, you can really, you know, get into a lot of trouble. You can be more injury prone, you can get sick, hormonal concerns in female athletes, you know, in terms of their hormonal cycle and their menstrual cycle. There's a lot that can go wrong. Obviously, it's performance and energy as well, but a lot can go on if you're underfueling. So being carbophobic as an athlete is a big no-no.
Okay. It was interesting the way you tallied the, say, the carbohydrate intake as going, you know, gram, and it depends on the individual's weight. So is that how, you know, in 2021, that's how we're measuring how many grams of carbohydrate and protein you need? Yeah. It's in accordance with the weight. So what was the formula again, Sinead? Sorry.
So we'll say for protein, an elite athlete should be getting about 2 grams of protein per kg of body weight. So if you're an 80 kg athlete, you need about 160 grams of protein intake throughout the day. And one of the big things that the research is showing now as well, Joe, is that in GAA players in particular, they're getting enough protein, but it's not evenly distributed throughout the day. So they're getting it at dinner time, but not always enough at breakfast and at lunchtime. And in terms of recovery and building muscle and repair, what we need the protein for as athletes, we need it to be evenly distributed throughout the day. So it's not enough just to get one hit. So again, the athlete has to be mindful to get at least 20 to 30 grams of protein at each meal and snack to optimize recovery.
Okay. And so look, it must be very tempting. I won't name any brands here, and maybe you could refrain from doing the same, but it's very tempting, I suspect, if you do your maths there and you know you need 160 grams of protein and you're running around to see a protein bar which offers you 20 grams in one quick bar. Where are we in protein bars? Are they good, bad and different? Can a synthetic protein possibly do the same as, I don't know, chicken or a more natural form?
Yeah, and it's all, when it comes to sports nutrition, it's always food first approach. Always, that's the big thing with sports nutrition, is to understand that you need it from food first. But there is a place for sports supplements, and the higher quality, tested, researched supplements, they're there, and they're there for a reason, and they do support. And often, sometimes even for that reason, to fill a gap, that it's nearly more important to get the protein in to aid recovery than it is to do without. So if you're time poor, if you're rushing on occasion, nobody's perfect, the odd protein bar, as long as you don't see it as a health product as such, maybe more as a functional product, can be helpful. Same with whey protein, really researched. We're good in this country that we have great dairy products. So we know that it's coming from generally from good places. But that's what we try and do as well as sports nutrition in this country, to make sure that athletes are getting advice from accredited, highly qualified individuals, as opposed to the local guy or girl just that they might meet in the gym giving them information.
Yes. And so, Sinead, I'm trying to walk the line here a touch between the elite and then maybe listeners who might be able to take something out of this. So certainly those big building blocks, we know about hydration, we know about protein, we know about carbohydrates, and it's interesting to get the formula. I think after that we get a bit fuzzier and we know there should be lots of fruit and veg in there, and oh my God, it's really hard to have 5 a day and all that kind of stuff. Is there a trend, and I guess it's interesting working with GAA athletes because they're amongst the population and more normal, would there be a trend in certain nutrients that we all seem to be struggling to hit the right marker in? You know, are we getting enough vitamin C? Is it zinc? Is it magnesium? Is there something which tends to crop up in the Irish diet when it comes to other nutrients?
Yeah, well, the big one in or out of sport would be vitamin D, Joe. So the levels should be between 80 and 200. So we need to make sure that we're getting enough. Ideally, we go to our GP and we get tested to see what levels we're at and then supplement accordingly. But most GPs would tell you now to make sure you're getting a minimum of 1,000 to 2,000 international units per day, now coming into this time of year as well. So vitamin D is really important. And we know from research that athletes can be, you know, low in this vitamin. Iron is really, really important as well. If you think about energy, think about iron. We need to make sure that we're getting enough of that and that we're absorbing it correctly into our bodies. But I suppose what I would say as well is, you know, if you're listening to this and you're just starting off in sport, is I suppose to be kind to yourself as well and to make sure that you're setting yourself up in order to have the energy, because sometimes people are over-exercising with very little energy. So I really promote sleep and rest and gaining energy before you start embarking on any exercise. And if weight loss is your goal and you're running and you started running and you're not seeing results, latest research as well, Joe, is showing that try and match it with strength training, you know, lifting a little bit of weights in it. And you may find that you're more effective with weight loss alongside cardio if weight loss is your goal.
Okay. And in terms of managing body fat percentage, is there a best exercise for that?
No, that doesn't happen too easily now. And that's a good mix of, you know, gym in it, cardio, and definitely the right types of diets as well. And I suppose that's when you might need to increase the protein a little bit and maybe reduce the wrong types of carbohydrates, maybe the quick releasing carbohydrates, and make sure you're maybe filling up on high fiber foods where you're satisfied from your food. So okay. Really what you want to avoid, Joe, is to be fluctuating in your blood sugars when it comes to, you know, weight loss. You want to make sure that they're balanced, and protein with each meal and snack will help balance out. And then colorful fruits and vegetables that would add lots of fiber as well, so you're satisfied. Because there's nothing worse, no matter who you are or what you are, if you're going around hungry all the time. That's a sign that things aren't right. You shouldn't be hungry. You should be satisfied.
Yes, no doubt. Something which actually we touched on the show a couple of weeks back, where we were just chatting here. I don't even know how it came up, but smoothies. So like the point was made, and I wanted to ask someone in the know ever since. If you eat your fruit, okay, it's fine. There's some sugar there, but there's something in the chemical reaction of turning it into a smoothie, which means it's just basically pure sugar and not good for you. What's the story with smoothies as opposed to just eating the fruit whole?
Yeah, ideally we should be eating the fruit whole because we're getting all the fiber there. Juicing sometimes is the one that kind of is the quickest releasing into your system. And if it's all fruit, which contains fructose, it will elevate your blood sugars. So you can often crave more sugar from that. So, I mean, a balanced smoothie for me, I think, is a great option, whether it's breakfast or a snack or pre-game or pre-training snack. But try and get the macronutrients in there. So try and get maybe a little bit of fat in there, get a half an avocado in there, get some protein in there, maybe a little bit of peanut butter or nuts or seeds or even a high quality whey protein maybe. Get some greens and colour in there. And then you're looking like a balanced smoothie that isn't designed really to keep you going for longer than, you know, an hour and a half. Like it's not like a nice scrambled egg and whatever, beans and toast or whatever, or quality porridge with nuts and seeds. But it does serve a purpose. And I think most of us, we lost out a quality smoothie here and there.
Yeah, okay. So go for that as opposed to one of just strawberries and a banana and oranges and maybe a bit of yogurt thrown in, is what you're saying.
That's okay. But like, even if you're having that juice, maybe have it with some protein, like eggs, Joe, and that'd be the best, better way to go. So it's not like not having it at all, but try and have some protein with it so that it's more balanced.
Okay. What? Where are you on supplements, by the way, Sinead? Like things like creatine, like very in vogue for a while. I mean, is all that stuff out or in, or where are we at the moment on all that?
No, that's there's a place. There's definitely a place. Now, if you're working with elite athletes in GAA or, you know, any elite athletes really, they're tested. So they have to be WADA approved, which is the World Anti-Doping Agency. So we have to make sure, as me as a sports nutrition, that I'm ordering high quality batch tested supplements. But there is a place, Joe. Now, the research that's out there at the moment is showing that there's a lot of misunderstanding, even within hurling and Gaelic in this country, as to when to use supplements. So again, I suppose it's the role of the sports nutritionist to make sure that your athletes understand the why behind they're taking it. Again, the same as not showing them a sheet of paper, it's sitting down with them and making sure they understand why they're doing it. And again, it's not a one size fits all, but actually creatine is one of the supplements that would be highly tested, a lot of research goes into it, has a place. Same with whey. Caffeine can be the same as well. It has been shown to have some performance benefits. Omega-3s, iron, you know, they have a place, but again, it's how you use them and when you use them and to make sure that they're being used in the right context. So it can be confusing, but seeking advice with those can be helpful.
Okay, great. Listen, I'm sure we'll get a raft of questions now in on the back of this, so maybe we'll pick it up again in a couple of weeks' time and have a chat again. Sinead Bradbury, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Joe.